You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. It's a Raptors playoff game night tonight, Game 4, down at Scotiabank. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050 and watch it on TSN tonight. Fired up for this one because I don't think it's officially a series yet. You know, we had Charles Barkley on yesterday. 2-1 doesn't necessarily mean enough.
Right.
You can get it to 2-2, then I think
now
everything's...
it's a series.
The first four games become irrelevant.
Exactly. Best of three. That's
best it. Best of three. Let's see what you got.
Now, Charles has a different type of allegiance of why he wants Toronto to win. He said to us that he just wants a game six back here so he can come back to Toronto.
He just wants to be in the city.
He loves it here. It's selfish motives, but I like it.
I love that, too. I appreciate it. If we got to travel...
Why isn't he staying here? They flip-flopped the networks.
Yeah, ESPN's got the West, and TNT's got the East.
So...
He'll go to Milwaukee.
Yeah. They'll be in Milwaukee.
Yeah, game five in Milwaukee.
Oh, but isn't game four tonight?
Yeah, he's here. He's in Toronto.
Oh, so he's doing this game tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he was gone. He's not doing this game.
No, he's
here tonight. Yeah, they're staying in Toronto.
Imagine a day off yesterday for the panel with him and Shaq.
We had him on, and it sounded like he was just kind of laying around. Like,
that's 5 o'clock, though.
Yeah.
6:30, he's probably at Cactus Club.
Yeah, it could have been. I'm sure they got up to something last night, I would
something.
Think.
You know, he's
Sunday night was the night, though. Long weekend, Sunday night. Yeah. Weather was nice after the game.
Well, the weather's nice right now. Can you imagine the patios? It is a little windy, though.
It's a bit windy. It's a Tuesday after a long weekend. This is pushing it a little bit. If you're at a patio on a Tuesday after a long weekend where you probably took it deep.
But this is, it's a Raptors game. It's a home game, game four. People are taking it deep tonight.
Right. You're right. If they're going to the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're pre-gaming for the game, if you're not going to the game. I mean, I'm sure the bars will be packed. People will be, invested in the game tonight.
I'd go saddle up at the Loose Moose.
Well, I think it's an 8:30 tip-off tonight.
That's perfect.
It's an 8:30 tip. If you're down there at 5 o'clock, you're not going to make the tip.
Well, no. I mean, you could be in trouble. They'd be wheeling you over to the Scotiabank.
They're right.
But I wouldn't mind that. I haven't had a patio in a long time.
Well, it's been 4 or 5 months. At least.
You need a patio day.
Yeah, I love a patio.
Overdrive patio day.
Well, if they get to the NBA Finals, maybe we can do that.
On location?
I don't see why not.
Kind of neat.
I don't see why we can't get downtown, and we'll set up shop somewhere. We'll get the cameras down there and the mics. As long as we're on the air, it's all good.
My first patio day, Noodles was out of town. It was me and you downtown. Guess who showed up on site to sit with us?
The Grappler?
Nope.
Was it Dwayne Casey?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was.
Yeah, that's right. Dwayne Casey came by for like an hour and hung out with us.
Well, that's because of...
That was...
Thanks,
yeah.
Brian.
I think that's what kind of launched our relationship.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
4 or 5 years ago now, I would say.
Good point by you, Brian.
Like, just loves you.
Thanks,
that's
Dwayne.
That's a good point, Brian.
I bet you he's tracking this. We're trying to get him on. We'll get him on at some point.
Dude, you're buddies with the guy. Why don't you ask him, you idiot?
Well, I wouldn't say we're buddies. Like, we joke around on the air, but I can shoot him a note. We'll see if we can get
him
on.
That's what you do. Like, come on. You're holding the show back. You got contacts. Use them.
All right. I'll shoot him a note.
Dwayne Casey. But then it would just be like, he thinks he's coming on with
you. We'll leave the studio.
Well, that's the whole point. That's why you
know what would happen the other day, I noticed? Sam was doing what everybody... You know how people say, oh, you and Noodles and O-Dog would know this? Sam was always like... Leo, you know this. Leo, you know this. It was basically like, we played, we know the deal.
Are you talking about like Jack and Rod Black that
I guess
were included
they were
in that stand-up?
He was like, well, yeah, Leo, you know this.
Yeah,
so he was
I did
leaning
pick
over
up on
to
that.
Leo? Wow.
Well, those were the... I mean, they both played in the NBA.
Yeah.
Jack and Rod. Rod, I mean, I know where he's coming
Rod's
from.
Rod's the all-star of broadcasting, though.
And that's what gets lost on you former players. I mean, you guys are all alike. You're all the same. Now you're in our world, the broadcaster's world.
And Rod is an all-star. I would say that you've had some all-star seasons here as well.
Second or third team all-star at TSN. I don't know if I've ever been on the first team, but Hopefully I get there at some point. We'll see.
Yeah, I would put you on the first team. I think Duffy's there. I think, who else?
No, we're going to get in trouble if we keep doing this.
Because
it's not about who you're pumping the tires of. It's who you don't include.
You leave off, yeah.
And then we're all in trouble.
Gino, there would be lots of
people. Bob Weeks will not be on my first, second, or third team.
No,
not ever again.
As an analyst, he's far
as
down.
As a friend, I thought we were buddies. I guess not.
He was just being honest. He said
taking runs at my golf game.
He just said Hayes is...
There was no runs. He was just agreeing with a fact. And the fact is 130 plus for you at a major.
At Bethpage Black.
I think he's being... truthful, like I can't imagine how difficult those would be.
Well, they would be. I know they're tough. I get that they're tough. I understand it, but ultimately, it doesn't really matter what I would shoot. You want to address the Darren Dreger Twitter stuff, like, because there's a lot of people wondering what's going on with you two online.
Darren Dreger blocked me. did I bring that up?
No, it's never come up on the show. I've had multiple people tweet me. Saying, why did the O-Dog unfollow Dreger on Twitter? Like, what's going on with you two guys?
He blocked me. Darren Dreger, I was up north at Collingwood, and I look, and there was a commentary, and then it's between so-and-so, and I go to look at it, it says, you were blocked by Darren Dreger.
Come on.
I swear to God. And then apparently he unblocked me a couple days ago.
So you unfollowed him, though?
He blocked me.
When
that means you're done.
They can't follow.
I see. So,
you have to refollow him. You would have to refollow Dregs.
Yeah, I look and it's like Darren Dreger because he's I was commenting as like just goofing around, and then all of a sudden I look and it says you are blocked from following Darren Dreger.
So did you call him or shoot him a text?
I called him to say, are you jerking around here or what are you doing? And he never answered. So I don't know what his problem is, and I really don't care. Like if he's being serious, I'll block him too.
Right, that's tough, man. To get blocked by a buddy within the same company.
Yeah.
I don't know it would surprise me if someone at TSN's blocked me. I don't know who it would be, but someone probably has.
I'm sure I've blocked or muted somebody from TSN.
I've never blocked anybody from TSN. I can't think of anyone I've muted on Twitter from TSN. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened or won't happen. Well, I'd be shocked if I haven't been blocked.
You get some guys in the pit or something who disagree with the way that you think towards either their team or if, say, there's a massive Drake fan in the pit.
They would hate your guts.
Listen, I like Drake as a superstar. I don't like him as a Raptors fan or a sports fan.
Right.
That's a different animal. But I'm sure there's somebody that has chirped me from TSN and they've either had to mute or block.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No, that'd be interesting. We should find that out.
It would be. I don't know. Maybe you pissed Dregs off. I don't know what happened.
I don't know either. He sent out one picture, and it was just like three good-looking dudes in Bratislava or something. And I was like, so funny, Darren. Ha ha. And then I was blocked.
I want this to be serious so badly.
It's not serious to me because I don't really care. If he wants to block me.
Yeah, I don't think it's serious.
I don't care because he rips everyone.
I don't know if he ripped you or not.
I don't know.
Did you rip
him? Why would somebody say, why did O-Dog unfollow Darren Dreger?
Because I'm not joking. Like, multiple people have sent in notes saying, what's the story with O not following Darren Dreger? I don't know how they would know that. I don't know why people are digging up your Twitter account.
Do you remember when it was Kyrie that unfollowed LeBron?
LeBron on Instagram.
That
stuff happens in sports all the time. The follow, unfollow. Like, remember, the most recent one was Josh Rosen before the draft, before he got traded to Miami.
Right.
Unfollows the Cardinals on Instagram, on Twitter.
But he changed his handle, like, it said player for...
Right, his profile or whatever.
Yeah.
It used to say quarterback for Arizona, and then it just said, like, person or whatever.
Exactly.
Because he knew what was coming. He knew he was out. I don't really have a problem with that, with the team. I think it's weird when it's like teammates, like Kyrie and LeBron. In Toronto, it was Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez, where people are going to pick up on that.
Yeah.
People are going to notice that you don't follow each other. As goofy as it might sound, feels like the biggest waste of time ever, why you would be mining, you know, the follows of anybody.
That is a
but
waste
it happens.
Of time. That is a waste of time.
And then it becomes a story, and it's totally avoidable. Just continue to follow that person. Who cares? Put them on mute.
That's what happened. I clicked on one tweet. You're not allowed to see this tweet. And then I clicked on Dreger. You are blocked from seeing Darren Dreger.
That's outstanding. Dreger is blocking the O-Dog.
We're going to have to get Dreger on the show maybe tomorrow.
go ahead.
Well, we got to get to the bottom of it. Yeah, we got to find out if he's legitimately rattled with you, if he's had enough of your whole Twitter vibe or what.
Now, sometimes that happens. I've been reading online like there's shadow banning. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Like these political, like I think Facebook was doing it, and I believe Twitter was doing it, where if you're on the right or on the left, so the conservatives were being shadow banned because they didn't want people to see their opinion. The liberals were, like, I saw some people
complaining
about
that. I've read a little bit about that. I don't know enough about it. I don't think it applies in the sports world necessarily, but that would be interesting if, like, your takes are just so bad.
Yeah.
You've got the worst sports takes ever.
Who would be shadow banned if you could think of?
The big American ones are like Skip Bayless.
I was just going to say, because didn't Barkley took a shot at him. He's like, yeah, you got these fools or
these idiots like Skip Bayless who just, you know, they spout out garbage
right
to get a reaction. But, you know, it comes with a hefty paycheck and people tune in and watch the show and people know the profile. There's a reason he does it. You know, it's right. A part of the game, so to speak.
So who would be, so Skip Bayless is a guy that would be shadow banned?
Well, I guess in the States for bad takes. I mean, listen, we've all been there. Let's be honest.
Yeah, all of
us. We
do
15 hours of radio a day or a week. There have been some horrible takes on
the
show.
Absolutely. Everyone has to own that.
Yeah.
Bad opinion or, you know, you misspeak or, you know, something. Like it is. Or you're not going to agree with what everyone has to say.
Well, I just saw this come over Twitter, actually. Geoff sent this in. Jeff. Apparently, D.D. Gregorius is on his way back for the Yankees. And Troy Tulowitzki recently approached the Yankees and said he's willing to play other positions.
Like, isn't Tulo kind of, shouldn't he be thankful to play any position at this point?
Right, but he should have been in Toronto as well.
Should be willing anywhere.
This is exactly why they shipped him out. Like, this is exactly why. Because he came in like a hero after he missed a full season. And he goes, I'm only playing here if I play shortstop. And if not, I'll take my bat and go home.
Yeah, but you got to look at it from the athlete's side. He maybe probably wanted out of here. And if they could do anything to get him out of here.
Well, obviously he got his way.
Yeah,
but
he did.
Like, it was obviously, though, at the same time, he's willing to play other positions.
Right.
But with the Blue Jays, he wasn't.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter because they had to get rid of him. Like,
yeah,
they had to. He's done. He's injured all the time anyway,
too, isn't he?
Yeah, they're paying him $20 million for years. Like, they owe him a lot of money. He's making nothing for the Yankees, and he's been injured shockingly enough with New York. But I just think it's, a bad look on him. You know, I get it that you didn't want to be here anymore because the team was turning over in the front office and management and all your buddies like Donaldson and Bautista, they're all out. But don't come in and drop the mic and play a hero that I'm too cool to play any other position. And then a month and a half into your new gig, you're begging to play anywhere on the field.
Yeah,
you're better than that. You didn't have to do that last September. Come in and act like a hero in Toronto. And people here treated you well.
You're right. But he to O's point, he may have said, you know what, I just want out of here. That's probably the best
then
way
do
to
that,
do
though.
It. Yeah.
You know, and say, listen, I'm a pro. I'm going to, hopefully, if I'm here in the spring, I'll play where I got to play. I just want to get healthy. Don't come in and act like a hero and say, I'm only playing short. I don't care what anyone else says. I'm Troy Tulowitzki.
Yeah.
Who are these peasants? Get away from me.
Yeah, there must have been a disconnect there. Like, get me out of here. And that's the way he chose to do it, whether it's right or wrong. You know, he's out of there, and he's hanging on to his career by a thread.
That's right.
He really is. Because, yeah, I knew he was down there, but he hasn't played. And what's he been doing? Just hanging out?
Yeah, he was on the injured list for a while. I think he's rehabbing. You know, he's trying to get back. He's
barely played the last couple of years.
Yeah, he didn't play a game last year. Did not play a game last year. This year,
walk.
But this is a guy who,
I think he had 11 at-bats this year.
During those runs in 15, 16, like, he was a really good player.
Prominent part of the core, and, you know, his trade, that was the first trade. Like, Price got traded here a couple of days later, but it was the Tulowitzki deal that really solidified things in 15 and sparked that kind of run.
So the luster is completely off of him.
Well, I think in Toronto, the way it went out, injured all the time and the mic drop and all that. And
but he, like, there's no a little bit of relief or not.
Oh, I'm fine with him getting out.
Right.
I'm not saying I wanted him here. I'm saying he could have handled the exit a lot better.
Correct.
You don't want him here. He can't play. He's taken up at bats. Get him out.
But you don't have a soft spot for him because of the run?
Well, yeah, in 15 and 16.
Right, but in 19, you don't care for him.
You don't know what was going on behind the scenes, sports science, much like with Donaldson. Like, you don't know how things were being handled, where he just finally said, I know the injuries were a pain in the ass, but maybe he was, maybe there was stuff going on that we don't know about.
Maybe.
Yeah, we don't know, but.
Because I'm pretty sure Josh Donaldson wasn't happy the way his situation was handled.
No, he wasn't. He's made that very clear.
Well, he was very
pretty
vocal
sure that
it.
Tulowitzki probably wasn't either.
Well, I can't imagine he was, but it's not the Blue Jays' fault that this guy had bone spurs and never played a game.
No kidding. He shows up to training camp. Oh, I have bone spurs.
Right. Like, and by all accounts, they were pretty shocked by that. Like, pardon? You need surgery on both and you're done
for
the year?
You're supposed to be 100% ready to go right now, and it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, it's no good.
Listen, it's been a mess here. Like, I'm not saying there isn't, you know, blood on the hands of the players, the management, everybody involved. It has not been a good run. I'm just saying, you know, he came in like a hero in September, and it felt somewhat petulant. Like, if I'm not playing short, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And now, six weeks into a Yankee career, he's begging to play anywhere. Please just, you know, I'll play. Like, the report is he went to them and said, I'll play anywhere.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a choice.
Well, right, but he shouldn't have had a choice here. That's my point. Like, you get paid $20 million. If they tell you to play in left field, go play left field.
Agreed.
And shut up and play.
Agreed.
You know, like, I guess that's where I'm coming from.
I know.
I'm not saying you have to love it, but.
I agree.
You're a pro athlete. You get paid. You get told where to play. Go play it and play your hardest.
I think he felt you feel comfortable here. You'd had a nice run here. Entitled may be the wrong word, but you feel.
It's
a little entitlement. To, hey, that's my spot. I am getting paid $20 million. I have had success there.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Apparently, Dregs was he on Leafs Lunch or on the morning show today? He was on the morning show. Talked about it.
What did he say?
Said you unfollowed him.
No, I didn't. He blocked me.
I don't know. It says Dregs mentioned that O unfollowed him on Leafs Lunch today, but it was a morning show.
So he's claiming that it was O that started this whole thing.
So you unfollowed him, so he blocked you.
He's an idiot. I'm not getting into this.
All right. Josh Lewenberg will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll get to yes athlete or no athlete based on our conversation yesterday.
Is one painter?
No. That was a bad analogy.
That was that sewer joke.
That was a bad analogy. And I went back and because I wanted to hear the start of the conversation. For those of you that missed it, we were talking about the Arnold Schwarzenegger video from down in South Africa where he got drop kicked in the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had these other viral moments from the Preakness where the jockey was off the horse and the horse kept running and then Kepka's girlfriend going in for the kiss. And we said, well, these are all kind of sporting videos. And even I said, you know, I think of Schwarzenegger as an athlete because of bodybuilding. And then I immediately pulled a 180 and double-crossed my own take, basically, and then went on a rant about how I don't think bodybuilders are athletes at all.
Yeah. I went home and watched. I must have watched. I bet you I've watched that Schwarzenegger kick 100 times. Like, his reaction is priceless.
It's unbelievable.
And his bodyguard, like, was... He had a growl on, like he was pissed.
Well, he probably knew he was in trouble because he let the guy get to him.
Exactly.
Like, what's the point of a bodyguard if a guy can drop kick
you? His job is to avoid that kick.
Right.
Agreed.
Hey, I'm paying you a lot of money. Make sure I don't get kicked in the back by some guy. Like, that, basically,
can you maybe prevent the kicks to the back in midair?
Like, I'll take a punch to the face, but if some guy literally kicks me in the back,
you know,
I'm going to have to call you on that.
The equivalent of that is... Is showing up hungover and having two extra clubs in your bag.
The caddy. Ian Woosnam's caddy.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, you're right. So we'll get to that a little bit later this afternoon. We'll touch on game six tonight. The Sharks are in big trouble based on their lineup, based on the injuries.
Yeah.
We'll get to that next.
Can't even believe I just did what I just did. I just, like, Dreger sent an email regarding the World Championships, and I replied, why did you block me on Twitter?
Did you reply all or just him?
Just him. I can't wait to hear this.
Well, whenever that comes in, we got to read that on the air.
Okay, well, if it's...
I mean, not live. Give it a read over and make sure that we can read it. Make sure that it's not going to lead to Dreger, you know, getting suspended by TSN.
Exactly.
But if it's possible, we'll bring that to you on the air. Game six tonight, Western Conference Finals. No Thomas Hertl, no Erik Karlsson. They're not even in Missouri.
Yeah, didn't make the trip.
They're not even in the state.
Wow, they're too banged up.
Right, and you could see that coming.
Yeah, Karlsson couldn't move last game.
He should not have played. Like, I give him credit for trying, but we saw it in game four. You weren't playing, man. You can't play. You can't skate.
Couldn't play that last. He didn't, from the 10-minute mark right down to a buck 55 where they tried to pull the goalie, he was on the bench, nailed to the bench. Last game, they got rinsed, and it was a walking wounded. Like, that Donskoy took a Burns puck in the face. Pavelski got run through the boards. Meyer.
If St. Louis can't win this game,
that's on them.
Like, Pavelski's a game time.
Yeah.
Again, Hertl out, Karlsson out. If Pavelski misses, that's three of their best six or seven players not in the lineup. Brent Burns is going to have to play 45 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
I think this, the only way this outcome swings for San Jose, in my opinion, is if the goaltenders
don't stand
play a massive role, or Binnington plays like a plug.
Yeah.
Either Martin Jones plays like Marty Brodeur, or Jordan Binnington plays like whoever it has to be.
Marty Astrom, is that the guy
that
Cherry always talks about?
Whoever it has to be. That. You can pick your own example.
Right.
And there's been many of them throughout the NHL.
I know. This season it was Jerry Sparks that people were frustrated
with. There you go. Yeah, Binnington plays like Jerry Sparks, then San Jose's got a shot because they might win 5-4. Or Martin Jones makes 40 stops and they win 2-1.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's what it's going to come down to tonight.
You're right. It's been a hard-fought battle, but unfortunately, like, San Jose's, they're on the ropes. Like, not only on the ropes literally because of the score in the series, but they're banged up.
What do you think the reaction is of our boy Kelly Chase if the officials factor in again tonight? In favor of the San Jose Sharks.
I don't know. His head may explode.
Like, if you're in St. Louis, are you preparing yourself for the refs to help San Jose?
No.
Like, have we reached a point where you're waiting for them to get another call?
No, I don't. I don't think so.
It's not possible, right? Like,
no.
They couldn't possibly get another angel sent to them in the form of an NHL official.
It would be.
It's not possible.
I think it would be great theater. That's what we'd be talking about tomorrow. It would be great theater that, you know, the San Jose Sharks get a little bit of love, and they continue to get that.
I'd love to see Game 7. Like, that, as a guy who's, I got no dog in the fight. I just want to see a Game 7. And the Bruins are just home free. Like, they're having a scrimmage on Thursday night. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Scrimmage. Like, it's mid-September. They've been in camp for 3 days. Hey, you want to come out? Blues versus Whites tonight down at the rink. Open practice. They're in the Cup final.
Well, I read a piece where Bruce Cassidy said that he reached out to the Patriots. Did you see that?
No, I did not read that.
He reached out to the Patriots to see what they did because they had a 2-week break before Super Bowl. So what do you do to lead up to that game as far as conditioning, preparation?
Do you think he's calling Belichick directly?
Probably.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think that's PR.
What?
By the way, Dregs has just informed me to my question, why did you block me on Twitter? And he wrote, ha, 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 ha. I was screwing around with you after you chirped me about something at the Worlds. Wanted to see how long before you noticed. I unblocked you yesterday. You never noticed. The joke died. Ha ha, Darren. So funny.
So now you're
I was at the point, because sometimes if we get tipped off about something, we'll, you know, tell them to sniff around something. I was going to say, bud, never again. I don't know anybody in the league. I don't know anybody. You're not even a friend of mine.
You were friends off because of that?
I was just irritated. I'm like, what a loser. Like, why would he block me?
That means it was actually a perfect gag. Like, he got the reaction he was hoping for because you were legitimately upset.
I called him immediately, and he never answered.
Which makes it so much better that he's flushing your call.
Yeah, he flushed the call after, too. Because as soon as I saw it, I'm like, all right, I need to find this out. Because if not, he can honestly... this guy rips everyone. And he apparently... Like, if he was pissed off about my little chirp about his dumb picture, whether it be a snake or a dog or his
dog. What are you taking out on him for?
I mean, well, I was just at the point where I'm like, all right, you want to play around? And I called him in Europe, and he never answered. And I'm like, okay.
Well, what time was it in Europe?
I'm so petty. I was thinking about blocking him too back.
I've done that before. I've been blocked and then immediately blocked somebody.
Yeah.
Now, it was like a personal thing. I knew the guy. I used to work with the guy. And I was like, what did I do to you?
Yeah.
So it was a similar type of reaction.
Yeah.
I was just as petty. I'm like, screw this guy.
I blocked one of our colleagues at another station.
Really?
Yeah, chirping me about what I was doing on the air. So really? I just said, you're blocked. Sent me a direct message saying, why are you sleeping during the baseball segment? You don't ask any baseball questions? I said, mind your own business. And then I blocked him.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, meanwhile, I had just finished asking two questions.
Maybe it was directed at me. maybe he doesn't follow me. Pass it along. Noodles has been asleep in the corner.
That wouldn't shock me.
No.
I
wasn't happy about that either.
Yeah.
Well, like, an apology, it'll be blocked for
people. People are just, they can't help themselves. Yeah,
but that idiot, I called him and I was fuming and he never answered. And that made me even more mad.
Dreger just had a fish on the line.
He owned you. He actually owned you with this.
Line and sinker.
We'll have to get him on at some point.
Yeah, we will. He might flush our calls. Who knows?
Exactly. If he sees TSN calling, he may think it's... Well, what time is it over there? Six hours later? It's 11:30?
If it's the grappler, like, would you answer if the grappler shows up on your call display?
No. Not at that time. These guys are probably at the bar.
Yeah, they got bigger and better things to do. But anyway... So there you have it. Dreger blocked you, but it was just for fun, and yet it still rattled your cage.
But he got the reaction he was looking
that's
for.
That's exactly what he was trying to get. All right, Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter, will join us here in a moment. Game four tonight, it's a must win. I think a lot of focus is on Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
Coming off game three, him actually defending Giannis. You know, there were a number of possessions where, by all accounts, he went to Nick Nurse and said, I want this guy, and he completely shut him down.
Yeah.
Now, that's where I wonder where the strategy, do you adjust that a little bit if you are concerned about his conditioning? Like, if you're concerned at all that Kawhi is not going to be at 100%, do you maybe lay off the Giannis assignment?
Yeah.
So, you know what, give him something a little bit easier.
You know Giannis will try and stretch it out if he knows that he's got a little bit of a step on Kawhi.
I would guess. You know, Giannis is it's physical, it's a grind, it's aggressive. It doesn't mean you can't beat him. Kawhi showed that in game three. But he's going to take you to the paint, he's going to try to dunk on you, he's going to make you work, he's going to run.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I wonder if Nurse is like, all right, you know what, I'm going to pick my spots here in terms of Kawhi actually trying to defend this guy.
Well, there was no secret. Like, Milwaukee was all over Kawhi.
They have to be.
All over him.
Yeah, like it's going to continue.
It was like
tonight.
Double or triple team, I felt. Like every time I turned around, Kawhi was just being mauled by people.
But I think they're pushing their luck. They've gotten away with it because the shooting's been so poor.
Correct.
But at some point, I got to believe Mike Budenholzer is thinking, what if Danny Green catches a heater tonight?
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, we can't double and triple Kawhi. And then you're in trouble. Game four tonight on TSN Radio and TSN. Here's Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter. How much defending do you expect to see out of Kawhi on Giannis tonight?
I think the answer is probably somewhere more than what we saw in games one and two, and probably less than what we saw in game three, because I agree with you guys. I just think to ask him to go out there and defend Giannis for over 40 possessions like he did in game three, I mean, obviously that's inflated by the two overtimes, but that's a taxing thing, especially when you're asking him to carry such a massive workload offensively. And yeah, if Danny Green and those guys are hitting their shots, then all of a sudden things change drastically, because we have seen a few times this postseason where other guys are contributing, all of a sudden Kawhi can defer and doesn't have to do as much offensively. But that so far has been the exception, not the rule. Malcolm Brogdon was not mincing words this morning. He made it pretty clear that the Bucks' game plan right now is to attack Kawhi on both ends of the floor. But at the same time, it's not like the Bucks today are going to be the first team to try and do that. Other teams have been doing it. It hasn't been working. Conventional wisdom at this point, you would think that at some point here, given the minutes he's played and the workload that he's carried, that at some point Kawhi will start to wear down, but we haven't seen it.
No, we haven't. And again, until it actually happens, this is all conjecture. You know, this concern about the limp and about the amount of minutes that he played.
Just with the limp, is there any update on that, Josh? Is it all good? Obviously, he's going to gut it out, but...
Nah, no, the Raptors aren't saying anything. They say he's fine. Kawhi says he's fine. I mean, he didn't look fine. He looked fine in the way that he was playing, not necessarily in the way that he was moving. But to your point there, I mean, he was limping pretty much from the get-go. I think his first possession, his first dunk of the game, he sort of came down awkwardly on one of the legs, and then he was favoring the other leg later in the game. So he played most of, if not all of, those 52 minutes while hobbling and was still pretty darn great. So, I mean, there's no reason to think he can't and won't do the same thing today. Just hopefully not 52 minutes.
Well, who are you looking at outside of Kawhi, you know, if somehow he's neutralized to an extent? It's not like he's going to put up a horrible stat line and be awful. But if, for whatever reason, he can't carry this team like he has at some points, many points this spring, who's the number two guy? Because it feels like the goalposts have been moving a little bit. You know, earlier in the rounds, it felt like it was Siakam. Earlier in this series, it was Kyle. Who's your number two guy at this point going into game four?
Yeah, I mean, it's either or both of those guys. But in terms of like an X factor or a wild card, I'll mention the name Danny Green, if for no other reason than we've been hearing a lot about him over the last couple of days. It's really interesting because I went and I looked at the numbers today. And if I were to ask you guys, hopefully you haven't seen the stat, but if I were to ask you guys, what do you think Danny Green is shooting in the postseason? What would be the guess?
In general or from three?
From three.
12%.
Well, no.
Like, right?
Yeah, something like that. In the 20s, you know, somewhere in the 20s.
So he's shooting 35% from three, which is league average. And that kind of blew my mind because, yeah, the eye test here is this has been a disaster. He's missing everything. He's shooting league average from three right now, which is good, but it's not so good when you're, one, Danny Green, one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, and two, Danny Green, a guy that relies heavily on three-point shooting. If he's not shooting the three ball well, he's probably not contributing very much offensively. Defensively, he's still doing what he does, of course, but offensively, he's not creating plays for himself or for other guys, really. He's there to shoot threes. So, yeah, 35%, good, but it's a pretty drastic drop-off from the regular season where he was shooting 46% and was second in the NBA in three-point shooting. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty big key to getting this offense going again. He was so important to what the Raptors did, and obviously his advanced stats, the plus-minus, all of that reflected that during the regular season. Now, I don't think he's healthy either, and he's the one guy we know that Kyle has a thumb issue. We know that Siakam has the calf or hamstring, and now maybe an elbow issue. We know what's wrong with Kawhi. We don't really know what's wrong with Danny Green. He clearly isn't 100%, not that anyone is at this point, but you watch him in the locker room after games and like the guy could barely put on his jacket the other day. He was kind of like wincing like an old man trying to move around from place to place. He's not 100%, but he says he's healthy enough. The Raptors, Nick Nurse yesterday was saying that his mechanics look fine. They don't look to be off. So at this point, at least according to Green, it comes down to a shooting slump, which happens. This is just an unfortunate time for it to happen. But as Nurse also pointed out yesterday, this isn't just a regular season type performer. This is a guy with a long history of hitting big shots in the playoffs for San Antonio against LeBron James and Miami in the postseason. So they're pretty confident he's going to come around. He is confident, obviously, in his shot and says he's not going to stop shooting. So the Raptors, I think, really need him at some point in this series to put his stamp on a game. He hasn't done it yet. Maybe it's tonight.
Thank you, Josh. Enjoy the game tonight, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Josh Lundberg, our TSN Raptors reporter. Game four on TSN Radio and on TSN tonight. A lot of guys are hurt. I mean, yeah. Both sides. We're not hearing anything out of Milwaukee. It doesn't mean there aren't guys that, aren't feeling it over there. So,
yeah.
You can't use it as an excuse, but it can be a reality.
For sure.
That's not to say guys aren't fighting through something, but you got to fight through it tonight. When the ball tips off, it's go time.
This is a must win. Like 3-1, that's
going
a big hill. Yeah, that's a big hill to climb. You can't do it.
No, you're not going to beat the a team like Milwaukee 3 in a row and twice in their building.
You said
you're just not going to do it.
Well, they've been so consistent all season long. What was the stat?
22-1 after a loss. Milwaukee is 22-1.
Well, you got to hope.
Best percentage, or that's the best record
all time for regular season and in the playoffs. Like that includes in the playoffs. Now they only lost once to Boston, and we know what happened in game two.
Yeah.
We'll see. This is only the second time they've lost in the playoffs.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes tonight. There has been a number handed out to a Buffalo Bill It is the first time this number will be used in over 40 years. It's significant. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so we'll get back to Ross Atkins' comments from earlier this afternoon. He was in the clubhouse ahead of Game 2 of the Jays Sox series tonight. And he was asked about Vladdy not playing, and just for more of an explanation on why Vladdy didn't play yesterday, because it was an afternoon game, it was a holiday, the park was relatively full, you know, half full, but for this season it was, you know, about as good as it's going to get.
It was jam-packed for this season.
For this season, it was a big crowd, and he's red-hot on the road. When he was at home, he was ice-cold. He gets red-hot on the road. He wins AL Player of the Week, and then they sit him because it was a scheduled load management day.
Yeah.
And a lot of people couldn't understand it, us included.
You know, exactly.
Sit him on Sunday or sit him tonight, but yesterday was a real platform game for a lot of people. Opportunity for families to get down and kids to get down, and the guy everyone wants to see isn't in the lineup, and it's their own decision. It's not like anyone forced them to do it.
And I get it, but it's a 20-year-old, and I guarantee you there might have been some slight flexibility there.
I would think there probably was. Do you want to hear the Ross Atkins clip from earlier?
Yeah,
let's quickly get back to this, because, you know, Charlie Montoyo had to come out and answer for yesterday. I wonder if Montoyo knew it was coming. You know, during the game, he would have had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, and I would like to believe someone got to him before he got up to the podium and said, hey, this is coming.
Just so you know.
You know, I've been tracking Twitter for the past nine innings, and people are going crazy about Vladdy not being in the lineup. So be prepared. Someone's going to, you know, try to posterize you here with some questioning. I think Montoyo handled it the best way he could because, again, I don't think it was his decision. I don't think it was his decision.
No.
And then Atkins stepped up about an hour and a half ago, and he was asked to, you know, add some sort of explanation to what went down yesterday. And here's what Ross Atkins had to say.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the fact that fans are upset is, you know, I certainly would not prefer that. You know, the one thing that I regret and all the things that we have talked about with Charlie, I have not talked to him about the importance of Victoria Day.
I can't tell if he's joking there or not.
Like, I've not talked to him about
the importance of Victoria Day because
he's American, right?
Yes, he is.
They all, I mean,
yeah,
Charlie's, I mean, not.
Charlie's not, but he's also not Canadian.
Right.
I mean, this is his first Victoria Day. Victoria Day is not a big day.
They don't care.
No, and let's be honest, Canadians don't celebrate Victoria Day. What we celebrate is a day off.
Exactly.
That's what we celebrate. Like, no one's sitting there saying, oh, Queen Victoria, she was my favorite. You know, I love her, and I've got a tattoo of the Queen.
I'm fully admitting, I Googled it before I was trying to be hard on it because I wanted to make sure it wasn't a sensitive holiday.
No.
It's a birthday.
Yes. It's May 2-4 for the majority of Canadians.
Right.
It's the first long weekend of summer. We enjoy it. It's an extra day off work. No one's ever going to complain about that.
No.
You know, it's not, Victoria Day is not important. The day off is important.
Exactly.
The fact that people have an opportunity for free time and family time, and you can get to down to a game where it's not going to end at 10 o'clock.
He's being condescending there.
It sounds very patronizing, the more
because
I hear it.
He's just flat out saying, like, the importance of Victoria Day. He's trying to keep a straight face.
I know. I think I kind of get the impression, like, he thinks this whole ordeal is ridiculous, which, listen, you know, he's going to have his guard up a little bit. Ross Atkins and the front office are going to have their guard up a little bit. In the end, is it the end of the world? Of course not.
No.
You know, and you move on and they're going to play tonight. Just in the moment, in a season that is already, you know, flatlined. And quite frankly,
right,
a flatlined day one of spring training. We knew what was coming this
Correct.
Year. The only thing going for you, if you're a Blue Jay fan, is I get to see Vladdy. And I'd like to see him at home.
In front of a big crowd, like on a long
Sox
weekend.
Sox are in town, and it's a Monday afternoon game, and there's people in the building.
I agree.
Seems like an obvious choice to put him in the lineup.
Yes, I agree.
But maybe Ross doesn't share that.
It's not good.
So, this is a great story, our boy Tim Graham. We haven't had Timmy on in a while.
Yeah.
So, Tim's, he's been recruited by The Athletic as well, because they got The Athletic down in Buffalo. So, Tim Graham, who wrote for the Buffalo News forever, he's been... He used to host shows on this station a lot. We know Timmy pretty well.
Exactly. He's a great guy.
He wrote a great piece. O.J. Simpson wore the number 32 for the Buffalo Bills. Now, this was before my time, but obviously when we hear the name O.J. today,
It's not the actor from The Naked Gun. It's the murderer.
Right. We think of Bronco.
Yeah.
And I can't believe this guy got off the hook.
Yeah.
And then didn't get off the hook and ends up going to jail for 9 years for armed robbery, yes, for another charge. And then eventually gets paroled, and now he's out, and I think he's in Vegas or something, and
yeah,
he's a prop, basically.
Yep.
But this, like O.J. Simpson, without having seen him, I understand, one of the all-time great players.
Right.
First 2,000-yard season for a running back in NFL history. That was in 14 games instead of 16. Down in Buffalo, they were always bad teams, but he was the king of Western New York.
Yeah.
The best. And a lot of people assumed, including, I guess, the players over the past 42 years, that his jersey number was retired. Number 32 is retired because no one had ever used it before. Now, the murders took place in 94, I believe it was. So I understand it from 94 onward, people are like, I'm not touching
that number.
I'm
not going near that number.
But from 1977 to 94, you would think at some point someone would say, I'll take his number if it's available. But it never happened. So everyone just assumed.
Probably on its way to being retired before he decided to murder some people.
Right. In 95, it was going to be retired, but obviously his reputation had changed drastically. There are only three numbers that are retired. Jim Kelly's number 12, Bruce Smith's number 78, and Thurman Thomas's number 34.
Right.
No one has worn the number 32 since 1977. Nobody.
I don't know.
Someone is going to wear it this year.
Who?
Cenarize Perry, who is a running back. I think he was in Miami last year. He's been in the league for a few years. Perry is going to wear number 32.
Does he care that it was OJ's number?
Not only does he know it was OJ's number, some of the quotes in the piece are shocking. Like, I guess Tim caught up with OJ, so we'll read some of the OJ quotes here in a moment. But this is what Perry had to say. You talk about tone deaf and a complete misunderstanding of the moment and the significance of this.
Yes.
When asked about wearing the number, Perry said, quote, I thought it was retired, but then when I was told it was available, boom, I took it. He continues by saying, I know the situation. Now, when he said that, I assumed he was going to say, you know, double murder and all that kind
exactly.
of stuff. No. I know the greatness that comes with that number, playing in Buffalo, but I'm willing to take anything that comes my way. I'm going into my sixth year, and I know what it takes to get in the league and stay here. With that number on my back, I know I'm doing well for my family, end quote. Does this guy understand that when he was asked why you would wear that number, it wasn't because of the player, O.J. Simpson.
It's because of the murderer.
Because of the guy who everyone in the world believes killed two people.
Yes.
Like, that's why
forensics actually, like, concluded.
Right.
It was 99.9%. It was a
he
jury,
killed two people.
It was a jury of dopes that let him off.
Right.
It wasn't like, this guy is guilty of sin.
This guy thinks the reason people haven't been wearing this number is because, man, there's too much pressure that comes with that.
Yeah.
I got 2,000 yards as a Buffalo Bill. I'm not taking that on.
You got to wonder with... You're right. You talk about tone deaf. I think he's looking at it the wrong way, obviously.
No kidding.
But are there any other numbers in the history of sports that have a, for lack of better words, a stench on them like an OJ?
I can't think of one like OJ. I mean, I'm sure there have been, and I'm sure if we look it up, we can find other numbers. Definitely. But like OJ? OJ.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, what number are you wearing? OJ's number.
Yeah,
O.J. Simpson?
He must be so young that he doesn't realize the magnitude of that.
I guess.
This was insane. Yeah. I was old enough to track. Like, I tracked that. We all remember. Like, I remember the day
that
he
trials
was acquitted,
and everything.
Everything.
Yes. We will continue this in the next hour.
Yeah.
And yes, athlete, no athlete coming up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.